Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Tes. We're going to start on the very last line of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Moses Zelig, Moshe Ben Yisrael Asher Zelig. All the Neshamas we learned for, may they have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin on the very last line, Ayin Ches Amud Beis, by quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that the shear for eating, for a person would get Malkus on if he ate that amount, or Rechmon al-Islam Kares, would be Ha'ochel Kikosevis Hagasa, if you eat a large date. And the Gemara asks the question, Boy Rapapa, and we turn to Ayin Tes Omud Aleph. Rapapa asked the following Shaila, when we said in the Mishnah, a Kikosevis, this large fig, this Kosevis Hagasa, Sha'amru, that we mentioned, did it include the Gari Nisa? Did it include the seed? Oh, below Gari Nisa? Or did it not include the seed? This, of course, is critical to know what is the shear for getting the punishment. Again, we had pointed out already, we had Machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where the Chatzi Shear is awesome in the Torah. We pass it like Rav Yochanan that says Chatzi Shear is awesome in the Torah, so the Chatzchila, you can't eat any amount, but Chazal need to know, for example, if you're given warning that you'll get Malkus if you ate that, so you have to eat a shear. Is it a Kosevis Hagasa, which includes the seed, or not? So Gemara says, a similar question was asked in regards to Etzem Kisora. Etzem Kisora is the shear of Tumah that you have with a bone, and that, or with certain types of shratzim, it has to be the size of Etzem Kisora, a bone that the size of a sora, a barley corn. Now, Rav Ashi asked a similar question when we said Etzem Kisora, bone has to be the size of a barley corn, the sora, so that it include, did that include the klipasa? Did it include the shell around the barley corn, or below klipasa, or does it not include the shell? So again, it's a similar question like Kosevis Hagasa. The Kosevis Hagasa was the large fig with or without the seed. So too, the saora size that we're talking about, is it the barley corn itself, or does it include the barley corn with its shell? Furthermore, the klipa. Furthermore, does it include, is it referring to belacha or biyavesha? Is it talking about a moistened one, which for someone would be larger, or biyavesha, a dried out one, which would be a smaller shear? So therefore, this similar question was asked by Rav Ashi. So the question is, when Rav Papa asked his question, why didn't he also ask Rav Ashi's question? And likewise, Rav Ashi, when he asked his question, why didn't he ask Rav Papa's question? So each one wasn't bothered, if you wish, by the other one's question. They thought the other one's answer was obvious. Rav Ashi, who only asked the question by Etzem Kisora, lo mebayale ha de Rav Papa, it didn't bother him, Rav Papa's question, in our Mishnah, Kosevis Hagasa, did that include the seed or not include the seed? Because it said Gasa. Itmar. The word in our Mishnah was gasa, and it implies as large as possible, called kama the gasa. And therefore, obviously, according to Rashi at least, it included the garinosa. It included the seed. So Rashi wasn't asking that question because he thought the answer was obvious. And similarly, Rapapa, Loma Boyale, Rapapa didn't ask the question, Hoda Ravashi, Ravashi's question, does the Etzem Kisora, does that include the klipa? And is it talking about a dried out or a moistened barley corn? So Rav Papa wasn't bothered by that question because he said, obviously, the word saora tells us exactly whether it's moist or dry or including the shell or not, because lecha is not called a saora. If it's moist, then it's called shiboles mikre. Then it's used a different terminology. So if it had said etzem kishiboles, then we would say it's a moist one. But since it uses the lashon of etzem kisora, Rav Papa said that by definition means that it's a dried out barley corn. And likewise, if you're dealing with the shell, then it's called siora. However, shelo beklipasa, if you're dealing without the shell, it has a different name. Ushla, that's the Gersa that we have in the Masoras HaShas, he says it should be Chushla, brought this down from the Aruch, it's called something else, Ushla or Chushla Mikre. So therefore, by definition, if we use the Lashon of Sora, it means including the shell, because otherwise it would be called Ushla Chushla, and it obviously means also that it's dried out, because otherwise it would be called Shibalas. So Rav Papa said, you told me the answer, it's Saora, and Saora by definition means dried out including the shell. And Rav Ashi said, Kosevis Hagasa by definition means including the seed. That's why each one didn't ask the other one's question. Okay. Now, the Gersa that we have is Omar Rava, Omar Yehuda. But again, the Masoras HaShas tells us that this should be Rabba. Again, Rava was two generations removed from Rav Yehuda, so it's less likely that he heard it directly. So Mistomer Rabba, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, heard it directly from Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it makes more sense to say the Girsi is Omer Rabba, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, he tells us that Koseva Sagasa that we speak about in our Mishnah, which is the Shia for removal of Inui on Yom Kippur, Koseva Sagasa Sha'amru Yeseira Mikabetza, is actually a size that is larger than a Kabetza. Right, we have Shurim, we have Kizayis, we have Kibetza. So Koseva Sagasa is the next up in terms of Shurim. Kizayis is a smaller shear. Then you have a slightly larger shear of Kibetza. We have a machlokus throughout Shas whether Kibetza is two or three times the size of a Kizayis. And then the next higher up shear is a Koseva Sagasa. The Kimluhud Rabbanan, the Bahachi Miyasvadaite. Batsu Mihachi Lo Miyasvadaite. And we have an understanding, the Chazal knew that the shear of Yom Kippur, as we've mentioned already many times, is removal of inoy. When you eat enough that you're no longer considered afflicted, that's when the Issim in HaTorah takes effect for a punishment. Again, Chatzi Shear is Issim in HaTorah, but the punishment will take effect if they warned you that you're going to get Malkus, so then you'll get Malkus if you eat this larger shear of Koseva Hagasa, and that's based upon the fact that that's the amount that would remove affliction, and therefore you're now transgressing Sanes Nafshu Seichem, that you have to have Inui on Yom Kippur by not eating. So, more or the amount of a Koseva Sagasa, so that's the amount that will remove Inui. Batsumi Hachi, less than that, Lomi Asudati, it doesn't put you at ease, it doesn't make you less afflicted, and therefore that is the shear. And again, this is critical. Rab Amar of Yehuda says that this shear is larger than a kibetza. We'll see later on in the shear today, there'll be a shear that says that it's smaller than a kibetza. But right now we're working within Rab Amar of Yehuda that it's larger than a kibetza, and we're going to question this. Meisvei, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Sukkah, and this Mishnah talks about practices of various gedolim as to what they would or would not eat outside the Sukkah. We all, of course, eat and understand the things that you're obligated to eat in the Sukkah, you must eat in the sukkah. However, there are certain things, such as a snack, such as an achilas aroy, that technically a person may not have to eat in the sukkah. It is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody is machmir in this situation and tries to eat everything, even drinking water in the sukkah, tavol of bracha, that's a wonderful thing, but the etzem din doesn't require that. So it says in Sukkah that Maisa, the ones with the Maisa Shohaya, and Beviul, Rabbi Yochanan Mazake, the great Rabbi Yochanan Mazake, was given some food, Litomis Atavshu, they gave him something to taste, they gave him some sort of food to go and taste. This food did not have bread in it, and they likewise gave Rabbanim Gamliel, Shtei Kosovos Udelisha Maim, and they also served, either at the same time or at a different time, Rabbanim Gamliel, they gave him two kosovuses of food, which is two figs. Now, we'll see in a moment, with or without the seeds. This is without the seeds. Udelisha Maim, and they gave him a pitcher of water. And the Amru, and both of these two great Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, about his tavshil to taste, and Rav Gamliel, about these two kosovas and some water, both of them said, V'amru, halum l'sukkah, go bring it up to the sukkah. The Tani Allah, that's the Girsa that we have. But you see in the Mesoras HaShas over here, he tells you to go look at Tosos. Tosos is found on Ayin Tes Amud Beis. And Tosos there says the words of Tani Allah aren't really found in this Mishnah. In any event, so he just deletes these words and he says, Lo b'pnei shalochakach, the reason that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabban Gamliel said, go bring this inside the sukkah, was not because the halacha demands that you do that. In fact, you could have eaten these things outside the sukkah with no halachic problem. However, they wanted to show the chavivus of the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. They wanted to eat every single thing in the sukkah, and therefore, because of this, they were machmir on themselves to go and eat this in the sukkah, but they didn't have to. Now, we'll bring a proof to this in a moment. We'll just finish off the brisa. We'll bring a proof to this in a moment that it says that Rabban Gamliel ate two kosovos outside the sukkah. Or at least he said it was halachically allowed to. He personally was machmir on himself and ate it inside the sukkah, but his statement implies that it is perfectly acceptable to eat two kosovoses outside the sukkah. And that will be the critical point of our question when we get to the end of this statement. There was a third Tana, Ukshinosano Rabbi Tzadok, the great Rabbi Tzadok. They gave him food, Ochel, Pachos Mikabetza, when they gave him food less than a Kabetza. So the halacha, according to Rabbi Tzadok, is that we paskin like in the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, how much is the shear for which you bench, or you can be included for Zimun for, to be Yotze somebody in benching? You can see this discussion from the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Memhei in Tosus over here in the Dibur Mask of Lo Birach Achrav. So Savar Lei Kiruv Yehuda, Rabbi Tzadik held like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to learn a little bit more about the Lekamim Bishmaisa. The Darish, he darshins out the Yachalta Visavata Uverachta, that Pasuk, he says that this words, we'll see this drush a little bit later in the Gemara, is Achila Sheyesh Ba Sevia. It has to be the amount of food that will satisfy you, the Hainu Kibetza. And therefore, less than a Kibetza is not considered eating. And the only chiyuv is to eat in the sukkah. Less than a kibetza is not considered eating, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir's shita is that it's a kizayis, that is the shear that's considered ochel. And this has huge ramifications in terms of how much a person has to eat in bread in order, for example, does he have a chiyuv to bench or a chiyuv to have zimun. So Rabbi Meir would say a kizayis requires you to bench and therefore allows you to be mezamin and to be yotzei the other people. They used to have the person who was mezamin be yotzei the other two people. They would listen to his entire benching and be yotzei with him. So Rav Meir says, if somebody of the three people ate at least a kezayis, so he could be motzei the other two who ate more than a kezayis. And likewise, according to Rav Yehuda, that shear was a kebetza. So Rav Tzadok held like Rav Yehuda. And when they gave Rabbi Tzadok food in the shear that was pachos mikabetza, so he said, that's not called achila, and I don't have to eat it in the sukkah. And therefore, nitalo b'mapa v'acholo chutz l'sukkah. Now, he did something else over here, which we'll explain in a second, but first let's do the second part. He ate it outside the sukkah because he held it wasn't a chiyav of eating in the sukkah because it wasn't called achila. Now, he took it in a mapa. What was the purpose of this? So, Rashi says over here, b'mapa, karach yodav mishum aninus hadas. He did this for hygiene purposes, for health purposes. He didn't wash his hands. Normally, you wash your hands until it's a daim, but he held you didn't have to wash until it's a daim for less than this shear, and therefore, he held it in a mappa in order that he wouldn't have to go and get his food dirty from his hands, for aninos, for concerns of being a fussy person, being a hygienic person. Tosa says a different understanding. Tosa says over here, no, that's because he didn't want to wash netilas yadayim, and therefore, since if you don't touch the food, you're not chayav to wash until it's a day, and that's why he didn't do this. In any event, he also, v'lo berach achrov, the third thing that he did was that he didn't make a bracha achrona afterwards. He didn't make berachas hamazon afterwards because he said it wasn't the shear, since he held the shear was a kibetza, and he ate less than a kibetza, so he says you're not chayav in benching. And Rashi, the bottom Rashi on this daf, not lubimapa v'cholav v'chule, tells us these three things that he did, three kulas. Shalosh, Shlosha kulin nohagbo. He held three kulas. Number one, achashalunot hayodav, elabimapa. He didn't wash his hands, but he held it in this napkin because, again, karach yodav bishom aninus, adas, because of hygiene purposes. V'chutz l'sukkah, number two, he ate it outside the sukkah, achalo. And number three, v'lo berach achrav, and he didn't bench afterwards. So these are the minhagim, or the practices, of these three great tanoim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel were machmir to go eat it in the sukkah, and specifically Rabbi Gamliel even ate shtei kosavos outside the sukkah. Technically you're allowed to, but he personally said no, I'm going to be machmir and eat it in the sukkah, whereas Rabbi Tzadok said the shear is a beitza, and if you eat less than a kebeitza, you're not mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. Now, let's understand the question that we're asking on Rabba Amar Yehuda, that Rabba Amar Yehuda had said that the shear of the Mishnah is Kosevus Hagasa is greater than a kibetza in size. We turn to Ayin Tesamud Beis. From everything that we just learned, Ha Kibetza by Sukkah, from both Rabbi Tzadok and seemingly from the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, the shear is a kibetza. Now, Kosevus Hagasa Sh'amru is Yisera mi kibetza. If you hold like Rabba Amar Yehuda that the Kosevus Hagasa is larger than a kibetza, so then how could that possibly be? Hashta, we said that Rav Gamliel said that shtei kosavos below garinon, without the seeds, technically is smaller than a kibetza because Rav Gamliel said you don't have to eat it in the sukkah. He was machmir eating in the sukkah, but the psak would be that shtei kosavos was without the seeds, lo havu kibetza, is smaller than a kibetza. So if two figs without the seeds are smaller than a kibetza, is it possible that one fig with its seeds is going to be larger than a kibetza? That's the kash on Rabba Amar Yehuda. Kosevus Hagasa v'garinosa, mi havi yesera mi kibetza? Is it possible to think that if, again, two kosavas is less than a kibetza, because you didn't have to eat it in the sukkah technically. So how could one kosavas with its seed be greater than a kibetza? Doesn't make any sense. Gemara says, yes, it does. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, exactly. In, you hit it on the head. When you have two kosavas, two regular sized kosavas, that's less than a kibetza. But if you have a kosavas agatsa, a large one, with its seeds, that's actually, like Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, is going to be greater than a kibetza. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, in, that is correct. Shnei kosavos v'lo gari nosan, if you have two figs without the seeds, two regular sized figs without the seeds, lo have a kibetza, that's smaller than a kibetza. However, if you have this larger fig, this kosavas agatsa, with its seeds, v'gari nosa, then have a yisera mikabetza, then that, in fact, will be larger than a kibetza. And Amar Rapapa says about this, Haim Dam Risha, this is the popular aphorism that people say. This is what the Velt says. Terei kabi de tamre, if you have two kabs worth of dates, that's the same size as chad kaba de kashyosa usriach. That's the same size as having one larger date and its pit. And Rashi explains the word suriach is lashon odet, kmo tisrach al achori hamishkan. It adds on to, so therefore, two regular kavs of dates is equal to a kav of a date with its pit and a little bit more. So in other words, a date with its pit is larger than two dates without the pits. Oh, that's exactly what Rabbi Amar Yehuda would have to say in order to explain that Mishnah in Sukkah that we brought down with the practices of these three great Tannaim. That's teretz number one to how that's not a kasha on Rabbi Amar Yehuda that a kosevas agasa im garinasa is greater than a kibetza. Teretz number two is Rava. Rava Amar, Rava himself said, now we had the gears that it was Amar Rava Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we said it really was Rabba. So here's another reason why that makes sense to change that gear. So Rava gives another teretz to reconcile that which Rabba Amar of Yehuda said, in not to be in contradiction with the Mishnah in Sukkah with these three Tanoim, that Rabba said that a kosevas agasa im garinosa is bigger than a kibetza. He says, Hosam hainu taima bishum davu luperi. Operi lobo sukkah. No, it has nothing to do with the size. If you're eating fruits, you're not mechuyev to eat them in the sukkah. So, yes, it was larger. The two kosavas was much larger than a kibetza, because a kosavas with its seed is greater than a kibetza. Certainly two kosavas, even though without the seeds, is certainly greater than a kibetza. How did they eat it outside the sukkah? Or say, technically, you could eat it outside the sukkah, but they were machmir. And how come Rabbi Tzadok ate it outside the sukkah? Because peros are not something that you're obligated to eat in the sukkah by definition. That's Rava's teretz. This teretz of Rava, we're going to question. Meisvei, but we have a brisa where it says, Omer Rebbe, Rebbe himself said, Kisho yulomdim Torah etzor Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, when we were learning Torah by the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, remember the other day I said Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua is the Tana because of my mnemonic, Shammua is like an S sound, and that's sage, that's the older one, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, the P sound, Pedos, like pediatrician, the younger one. So in any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, the Tana, Rebbe said that when they were learning by him, they brought in front of them snacks to go and eat in sukkahs. And the question was, did they have to eat them in the sukkah? So they brought in front of them these tainim, which are figs, and anovim, which are grapes, and va'acholnum achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. And Rebbe said that Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua permitted them to go and eat them outside the sukkah. Now, achilas aroi, it says over here, v'achalun achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. We ate them as a temporary type of a snack type of an eating, not a kavua, set seating, we're having a meal. They had it as a snack, and therefore that's why they were allowed to eat it outside the sukkah. Now these are fruits, tainim and anovim are fruits, and they were only allowed to eat them outside the sukkah because it was achilas aroi. Achilas aroi in, however, achilas keva lo. But if they had in fact sat down and said, oh, we're going to have a salad, we're going to eat lunch, and we're going to have the salad made up of figs and grapes, and it would be achilas keva, they would have in fact been obligated to eat in the sukkah. But you, Rava, just said that fruits in general aren't obligated to be eaten in the sukkah. And from this story of Rebbe and his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar ben Shammua, you clearly see that fruits, if they're eaten as an achilas keva, are in fact obligated in the sukkah. So that schlugs up Rava's teretz. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily so. Ema, you know what? In fact, you could argue when Rebbe said that we ate it outside the sukkah, it was achalnum care achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. Fruits don't qualify for being obligated to eat in the sukkah, and therefore, when we ate these fruits, it was as if care achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. And therefore, Rava is correct. Fruits, even in a shear larger than a kibetza, have no obligation to be eaten in the sukkah. Oh, that's what it said. Whenever we ate, it was as if it was an achilas aroi, because fruits, you can eat all you want outside the sukkah. That's teretz number one. You might say, alternatively, teretz number two, when Rebbe said, b'achalnum achilas aroi, chutz l'sukkah, you have to translate it as follows. It's achalnum, period. That was a separate statement. And that meant achilas keva. We ate an achilas keva of fruits. And therefore, since fruits aren't obligated, even though we ate what would be an achilas keva fruits, that is not an obligation to eat in the sukkah. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua permitted them to eat it outside the sukkah. So achalnun meant achilas keva. And by the way, also, v'yochalnu pas achilas aroi b'hadayu. And we even had a little bit of bread, which was achilas aroi. That was to help us wash down the fruits. That wasn't a set meal. That was a small amount. And therefore, even the pas, which was an achilas aroi, any achilas aroi, any type of a quick snack, transitory type of eating, it's not considered achilas keva, is allowed to be eaten chutz l'sukkah. So these are the two ways that we can get around Rava's statement that fruits aren't required in the sukkah. We seem to have a contradiction from that, from Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's practice with his Talmidim to allow them to eat the tanim and the novim only when it's achilas aroi outside the sukkah. So we say, no, it wasn't talking about the fruits that was achilas aroi. It was talking about something else that was achilas aroi. Either in the first teretz that we said, it was the fruits were like an achilas aroi, no matter how much you ate. And the second teretz was that they ate more than achilas aroi, the achilas keva of the fruits, but it's not chayv in the sukkah, and the achilas aroi was going on the pas. Fine. So now we schlugged up the attempts to schlug up Rava. And now we're going to bring a proof to what Rava said, that fruits, in fact, are not chayv in a sukkah. Lema Masayle, the following brisa supports that which Rava said, that fruits are not considered something you're obligated in the sukkah. Now, we have the word lefichach. Some say the word lefichach doesn't belong here. But in any event, this is dealing with a statement from the Gemara in Sukkah, where they said that a person, according to different opinions, have to have a certain number of meals in the sukkah. So according to the opinion, it says that you have to have 14 meals in the sukkah. So can you be yotze? The Tosfos Mini Targuma starts off and tells us from Perek Yoshin in Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph Gabe im Hishlim Yudalit Sudos Shechayiv Odom Lecho B'Sukkah B'Mini Targuma, are you yotze or not? And that opinion said yotze. Now Rashi here tells us, Tosfos has a whole different question, which we'll leave alone for right now. Rashi here says, what is this mini targima? He says it's lifton, something that accompanies bread. So if somebody eats something that's not bread, but it's a mezonos, or it's something that's called lifton, so it accompanies bread, so in this situation, you would fulfill, according to this opinion from Sukkah, the Gemara there tells us, it's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, you're required to have 14 meals in the Sukkah, so eating this mini targima would qualify. Now, you would fulfill your obligation of having a meal in the sukkah. But if you're telling me that Rav is wrong, if you're telling me that you're obligated to eat fruits inside the sukkah, not like Rav said, so then, why didn't they say not only mine targima, they should have said mine peros. Oh, from the fact that the Gemara in sukkah doesn't allow us to fulfill our obligation to have the 14 meals with mine targima, meaning fruits, it must be that fruits aren't obligated to be eaten in the sukkah, exactly like Rava said. Lema mesayile. Let us say that this is a raya to Rava's opinion. Mar answers, no, that's not correct. My mine targima, what does mine targima mean? It means peros. It in fact includes peros, and that's what Tosu says, that kigon, peros, the kistin, the kaflutos, mivusholim. That Tosu says over here that this includes all sorts of fruits and various types of pies and things like that. All of them are mashma, that they're considered mine targima. Tosu says, again, additional questions on this, but that is the bottom line, and therefore you can't bring a raya from this Gemara in Sukkah to Rava. It's not a raya against him, but you can't bring a raya to him. So therefore, mine targima does include fruits. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, why is it not a raya to Rava? The Yibayi Seima, You could say that this is Biasrod Loshlechitere. If they had fruits around, so then, yeah, they would have said that you could be Yotzi with fruits. But they were talking practically. Rabbi Eliezer was saying you have to have 40 meals. And they said, give us some examples of what could be used for these 40 meals if you don't have bread. So they said, use these lifton, use these things that accompany bread. But they didn't have fruits, and that's why they didn't mention specifically fruits, even though mina targima doesn't normally necessarily mean fruits. But fruits would have been fine too. They just didn't have them. Okay, that is the conclusion of the first discussion that we have today. Rabba Amar Rav Yehuda's opinion that the Kosevis Hagasa im Garinasa is larger than a Kibetza. Now we have an alternative opinion that says it's smaller than a Kibetza. Rav Zvid disagrees with Amar Rabba Amar Rav Yehuda, and Rav Zvid Amar that the Kosevis Hagasa that we said in the Mishnah with its seed, Sha'amru, is Chaseira Mikibetza, is actually smaller than the share of a Kibetza. So you have in the pecking order, you have the smaller share is a Kezias, then you have next up is the Kosevis Hagasa, and then next up in larger in size is the Kibetza. So according to Rav Zvid, the Kosevis Hagasa is smaller than a Kibetza. According to Rabba Amar Rav Yehuda, the Kosevis Hagasa with its seed is larger than a Kibetza. Now where does Rav Zvid get his Shita from? Because this is a Mishnah in Beitza, the very first daf in Beitza. We're going to, Mirtz Hashem, learn this very shortly. Ditnan. After we go to Sukkah, we're going to learn Beitza. So, Ditnan, Beishami Omim, Sa'or Bechizayis. We're going to say that the shear for Chometz, the Mishnah in Beitza, on Daf Beis in Beitza, is talking about what is the shear of Chometz. Now, there's two types of Chometz. We have Chometz and Sa'or. Sa'or is the sourdough. It's the super duper Chometz. And Chometz is regular Chometz. Now, Beishami tells us that the shear is as follows. Now, this is for possessing. This is bayiro bayimotze. This is not for eating. Everybody agrees that the eating is the shear of a kezayis for both. So here it's whether you're over bayiro bayimotze, you're allowed to have in your possession this amount. So Beishami says that the so'or is a kezayis. The sourdough, that's a kezayis. Whereas regular chometz is a kikoseves. Is the shear of a kikosevis. Now, Vavinambad, the Gemara asked over there, my time of the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai distinguish between Sa'ar and regular chametz? The Sa'ar is able to be machmitz something else, and regular chametz is regular chametz. So why is there a distinction between these two shiurim in terms of bayiro bayimotze? My time of the Beis Shammai, what's the rationale? Beis Hillel disagrees and says it's one and the same shear of a kizayis. So the Gemara says, "Nichtov Rachmona Chometz," because if the Torah had just said Chometz, it didn't tell us that you have the pasuk Shivas Yomim So'or Lo Yimotzei B'Vateichem. If it had just said about Chometz V'Lo Yerelcho Chometz, which is the pasuk, so if it had just left it at that, why did it give us a separate pasuk V'Lo Yerelcho So'or B'Chol Gvulecho? You could have just said it all in the lashon of Chometz. So Nichtov Rachmona Chometz. And I would know, the low boy saw, you didn't have to tell me so'or, and I would say, anan mina, uma chometz she'ein chumutzo koshe, something like chometz, which isn't as strong as so'or, and therefore, even if the shear isn't as strong, it's also bechizayis, so certainly, kal b'chomer, so'or she'chimutzo koshe, lo koshe kein. So I would have said, so'or is included in that, and both of them are the shear of bechizayis, to be over by yirah, by yimotzei. However, midefalgidu rachbona, since the Torah did separate it out, v'loy rilchot so'or, and instead of v'loy rilchot chometz, you have both of them, obviously they must have different shiurim according to the base opinion of Beis Shammai. So therefore, midefalgidu rachbona, limdo locha, it teaches us shiur shozeh, lo kishiur shozeh, that they both have two different shiurim, and the shiur for so'or is b'chizayis, and the shiur for v'chometz is b'kikoseves, and therefore they have two different shiurim. Now, what does this have to do with telling us that according to Rav Zvid, that the shear of a Kosevis Hagasa is smaller than a Kibetza. So here's where we make that proof to Rav Zvid. Because v'yisol k'daitach that a Kosevis Hagasa sh'amru yisair mi Kibetza, if in fact Rabba Amar Yehuda were correct, that the Kosevis Hagasa that we're saying is larger than a Kibetza, not like Rav Zvid, like Rabba Amar Yehuda, then you got a problem. Michtei, Beishamai, Ashiura, Dinofish, Mikizayis, Kobahadre. So Beishamai would be saying that you're looking for a one-up shear more than Chometz is a Kizayis, so the next shear is for Sa'ar. So the next shear up, if you're telling me it's a Kibetza, because a Kosevis Hagasa is larger than a Kibetza, Beishamai then should be looking for one shear up from a Kizayis, which should be, according to you, a Kibetza. Because a Kosevis Hagasa is larger, according to Rabba Amar Yehuda. The Nafish Mikizayis called Mahadri. So you're looking for the shear that's one size up above a Kizayis. So then it should have said, listen, Kibetza. It should have said that Beis Shammai's opinion is that So'or should be B'Kizayis and Chomet should be B'Kibetza. Therefore, from the fact that that Gemara in Beitza says that Beishami's opinion is that the one size up, the Sor, is a Kosev Sagasa, that must be the next size. Maybe you want to tell me that they're exactly the same size, the Inami, even if you want to tell me that a Kosev Sagasa is exactly Kibetza, it's not more than Kibetza, not less than Kibetza, it's exactly Kibetza. Inami, if you're going to tell me, Kiyadadinenu, even if they were the exact same size, it still should have said Nisne Kibetza rather than Kosev Sagasa, because a Kibetza is the more commonly used term. We rarely have a Kosebes, we have Kibetza all the time. So therefore, if you're going to pick one of the two to use, if you're saying they're the exact same size, you should have said a Kibetza. Ergo, Ella, Lav Shmamina, it must be from the fact that Beishami says the next size up is Sor, is a bit Kizais, and Chomes is a Kosebes, and not a Kibetza, it must be the Kosebes is smaller than a Kibetza. Kosebes, Bechusa, Mi Kibetza. That's the Raya to Rav Zvid. No, what would Rabbah Amar of Yehuda say? Well, says, no, Mimai, who says that that's necessarily true? Dilmal, Yolam, Emaloch, maybe in fact, the Gemara could answer, Kosevas, Agatha, Shomer, Yisari, Kibetza. In fact, Rabbah Amar of Yehuda says, I'm right. That the share of Kosevas, Agatha is in fact a larger share than a Kibetza. Why didn't Beishamai then go to the next higher up share? Hostoma, Kibetza. Because the size of a regular Kosevas is the size of a Kibetza. The Kosev Sagasa is more than a Kibetza. So why didn't it say then the next shear up, instead of jumping to calling it a Kosevis, why didn't you call it Kibetza, because that's more frequently used? It says, no, they didn't. They chose to use this. And even if you want to say that they're the same size, and that it's not, that a regular Kosevis is even larger than a Kibetza, so if you want to say that they're the exact same size, and if you want to tell me that they're the exact same size, so why didn't you use the terminology Bechabetza instead of Kosevas Agasa? So the Girsa that we have is Choda Minayu Noka. They just picked one of the two. Others add the Mesoras Hashas, adds the Girsa, the Choda Minayu Noka. And they chose one of the two. Beishami chose that one. That's not a Raya, then it's not correct. So therefore, Rabbah Amar of Yehuda would disagree with Rav Zvid's proof from this Mishnah in Beitza, and the fact that Beishami used the terminology that Sor is Bechazayis and Chomis is a Kosebes doesn't prove that a Kosebes is smaller than a Kibetza. In fact, a Kosebes could be the same size as a Kibetza or even larger than a Kibetza, and certainly a Kosebes Agatza, Rabbah Amar Yehuda would say it's larger than a Kibetza. Rav Zvid says, no, this was a good proof, and that a Kosebes Agatza is smaller than a Kibetza. So we've somewhat slugged up Rav Zvid's proof that a Kosebes Agatza that we say in our Mishnah is Chaserim Kibetza, smaller than Kibetza. So where it says Elam Yehocha. So here's a better proof to Rav Zvid that a Kosevas Agas is smaller than a Kibetza. What is that from? Ad Kam Mezamnim. This is the machlokas that we alluded to earlier in the share between Rav Meir and Yehuda from the Gemara in Brachos that tells us how much a person has to eat in order to be able to participate in Zimun. Again, when you have three people together, they would be Mezamnim together, what we call Zimun. And the way they did it was that one person said the entire benching, including the Zimun, and it was Motzi the other two. So how much do you have to eat in order to be able to participate as the one being mostly other people? If you ate with them, if two people had pas, and one person had, let's say, cookies, so then you have a zimun, but the one who ate the cookies can't be mostly the others because he's not obligated in benching. So here we're talking about what is the shear that you have to eat in order to be obligated in the zimun and obligated in benching that you could be mostly the other people. So there's a famous machlokas between Rav Meir and Yehuda that has many ramifications throughout Shas. Ad kama mezamnim. So the opinion of Rav Meir is Ad Kizayis. They were Rav Meir, and the opinion of Rav Yehuda Omer Ad Kibetza. Now, what do they argue about? B'maiko miflagi. So it's all based upon the pasuk V'yachalta V'savata U'virachta. Rav Meir dashes the pasuk as follows. Rav Meir Savar, when it says V'yachalta, it means Zu Achila. It's referring to eating. And when it says V'savata, it's not referring to satiety. It's referring to Shazu Shasia. That's drinking. And V'achila, in general, is always referred to as a kizayis. The stam achila always means a kizayis. And therefore, Rav Meir's shita is that you can be included in the zimun and you're mechuyev to bench even if you ate only a kizayis. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Savar, when the pasuk says v'achalta v'savata, that's one thing. That's talking about achila. So it's not the stam achila, which is normally a kizayis, but this is an achila that is to satiety. And therefore, this is a larger share. Achila sheyesh bo sevia. And that is how much? Be'ei zeh, zeh Kibetza. That is the share of a Kibetza. So this is the fundamental machlokas between Rebbe and Yehuda. Now, how is this a raya to Rav Zvid that a koseves hagasa is smaller than a kibetza? Because v'isoka daitoch koseves hagasa shamu yisera mi'chabetza. If you want to say that the answer is like Rabba, Amr of Yehuda, and the fact that koseves hagasa is a gasa is larger than a kibetza, so then, if you're telling me hashto kibetza sabui mazba, you're telling me over here, according to Rav Yehuda, that a kibetza makes you eat to satiety. V'yochalta v'savata is a type of eating that's a kibetza that reaches satiety, so satiety has to be a higher shear than misuve daita. So certainly, if you're telling me kibetza is sabui mizba, so to be yesuve daita, that is going to be more than a kibetza? That's going to be less than a kibetza. Satiety has to be less than putting your mind at ease. So daita lo miyasva with something that is larger than a kibetza? Kibetza gets you to satiety. How could a koseva sagasa be the shear for yesuve daita when that's larger than a kibetza? Obviously, therefore, Rozid would say, Elolav shmamina, that when we say koseva sagasa shamu pochus mi kibetza, kibetza mazba, obviously, the pecking order is as follows, that a kizayis isn't misuvi daita, and certainly not satiti. Koseva sagasa, that gets you to the point of removing the inoy, it's miyasva daita. And if you eat a little bit more than that, the itukabetsa, that is the shear of sevia. This is a good break point. This will conclude today's shear.